celebrate your son, Jesus Christ, who on this day many years ago, Lord, rose from the dead, laying claim to the victory. Lord, I just pray that as we hear your message this morning, that hearts are softened, ears are open, Lord, and we just allow you to speak to us. All this we ask in your name, God.
Amen.
At this time, we are going to celebrate just like Jesus did with his disciples before his arrest and trial. He gathered his disciples together into the upper room, and he led them in the Passover meal. And when they got to the third cup of Passover, the cup of redemption, he took the bread and he took it in his hands. And scripture said that he told them, "This is my body that is broken for you." And I'm going to ask our youth pastor, Chad, if he would bless the bread as we partake in the Lord's Supper this morning.
Oh God, thank you this morning again, Lord, for your son and his body that was broken for us on the cross, so we could have eternal life, God. I'm just so grateful. We just love you and honor you and praise you, God. Amen.
And when Jesus had blessed it, he said, "Take and eat." And then he says that he took the cup and he showed it to him. And he said, "This is my blood that is shed for you, the cup of redemption is being given to you to take freely. And again, I'm going to ask Chad if he would mind blessing the cup this morning before we take.
Oh, Heavenly Father, again this morning, we come to you grateful, humble, Lord. We just thank you for Jesus Christ and his blood that was shed on the cross those many years ago. Help us to remember that. Not just today, God, but every day. Love you and honor you, God. Amen.
Amen. And then Jesus said, take and drink.
Alone can catch a falling star.
Thank you, Sharon, for that. And I know my Redeemer lives. Happy Resurrection Day. This is the day that we as Christians celebrate and wait for all year long, because today is the day that we get to celebrate the fact that we serve a risen Savior. And the title of my sermon today is, I Know My Redeemer Lives. And we'll look at a verse that you may not think about when you think about Easter, but I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 18 through 21. And this is what Peter writes in this letter. He says in verse 18, knowing that you are not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. For he was foreknown before the foundations of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for the fact that we do serve a risen Redeemer, that his blood, his precious blood as a Passover lamb, was shed so that when you saw the blood, you would pass over us. That you gave us forgiveness of sin once and for all through the sacrifice that Christ died on the cross. But dear Lord, you didn't leave him there. And it is because of his resurrection that we have hope for the future. Dear Lord, it is because of the fact that we serve a risen Redeemer, a risen Savior, that we have the hope of eternal life, the hope of being reunited with you. And dear Lord, we praise you for that. Thank you for the reading of your word. And it's in the holy and precious name of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Since the very beginning of time, since before creation, God had a plan. He had a plan to create people that would be able to choose to serve him and follow him and love him. And even knowing that these same people would reject him and choose their own ways above his ways, he still followed his plan. He had a plan to redeem us from the very beginning. He had a plan to send his only son, Jesus Christ, the God-man, to walk among us, to suffer and die on our behalf. And knowing that it would cost him everything, he still followed through on that plan. We celebrate part of that completion of his plan today. His plan is not finished yet, but we celebrate part of that plan today. Easter Sunday, because his sun rose brighter today than the sun in the sky. And the whole world knew that we have a risen Messiah, a risen Savior. And that is what we're celebrating today, because we know that our Redeemer lives. Now I want us to look at something. One of the things that Jesus said on the cross when he died, he said, "It is finished." John 19:30 records that. It says, "Therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished.' And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit." John records these last words of Jesus Christ on the cross. "It is finished." Three words that carry so much meaning for each one of us. What was finished? Well, Jesus was declaring several different things. Jesus declared that the debt owed to the Father was wiped away completely and forever.
We owed a debt of sin that could not be paid. From the very beginning, when Adam and Eve sinned and turned their back on God and chose to do their own selfish thing, their nakedness had to be covered. They sewed together fig leaves, but that was not enough to cover the sin. God himself killed an animal and clothed them in the skin of the animal to cover their nakedness. And from that day forward, sin had to be covered by blood, by the shedding of blood. Every year on the Day of Atonement, the Jews would bring together as a group of people, and sacrifices were made, and the priest, the high priest, would go to this goat, and he would lay his hands on the goat, symbolically laying the sins of the people on that goat, and then that goat was led out into the wilderness, away from the people. That is where we get the term scapegoat. It took the blame for something that everybody else had done. Jesus Christ became our scapegoat. He took our sins upon him, and we did not have to continually do these sacrifices to cover our sins. Jesus said, for once and all, the debt is paid. It is over and done with. Ephesians 1:7 says this, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sin, trespasses according to the riches of his grace. It is because of his love that he did it. The next thing, the promises that God made throughout the Old Testament have been fulfilled, and the suffering Jesus endured was at last over. So two things there. The promises. He started making promises back in Genesis. Look at what it says in Genesis 3:8. And I will put enmity between you and the woman. He is talking to the serpent, to Satan. And between your seed and her seed, he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. Satan strived and he pushed. In fact, John records that at the Last Supper, at the Passover meal that Jesus shared with his disciples, that Satan entered into to Judas. Satan was involved. Satan was the one that instigated the trial. He was involved in all of it, and he thought he was beating God. He thought he was going to steal us and our souls away from the God that loves us. And Jesus said, no. God went back and fulfilled this promise. Satan thought he had won when they put Jesus in the grave. He was celebrating. But 3 days later, he realized that he had been defeated. And he is fighting tooth and nail every day to try to gain as much as he can. But the battle has already been won. And it was finished that day on the cross. And it was complete the day that he rose again. And then God's will for Jesus was accomplished in his perfect obedience to his Father. When Jesus left after the Passover meal with his disciples, he went to Gethsemane. He went to pray, and he asked three of his disciples to go along with him. And as he prayed, he said this is recorded in Luke 22, verse 42, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. Jesus showed 100% of his humanity right there in this prayer. He showed the fact that he did not want to die. And he asked God, if there's any other way, let's do it that way. He wanted to avoid the pain that he was about to endure. And he knew this world that he lived in, they were very accustomed to Roman crucifixions. The Roman people had developed this torturous death. And Jesus was very aware of what he was getting ready to go through. And he asked God, please take this from me. Let us do this some other way. But he didn't leave it there, because then he showed 100% God when he said, Father, not my will, but your will. And he humbled himself and became our Passover lamb, became the lamb that was crucified for the forgiveness of our sins. And in doing so, he fulfilled God's will for Jesus. And then the last thing that was finished is the power of sin and Satan were finished. 1 Peter 2:24 says this, and he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds we were healed. Jesus Christ died and bore all of this so that we may have victory over sin and Satan would be defeated in our lives. Do we still battle with him? Yes. But we have victory through the power of Jesus Christ. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. We trust him as our risen Savior and Lord to give us the strength to fight on. In fact, Paul says in his writings, he says that when you come to the end of your rope, when you've stood as much as you can, you stand firm then. You don't give up. You keep standing strong. You put on the full armor of God and you fight, and you continue to fight, because if God is with us, who can stand against us? And then I want us to look at this. Wounded for our transgressions. Crucifixion was intended to provide a death that was particularly slow, painful, gruesome, humiliating, and very public. The term excruciating literally means out of crucifying. This death that Jesus experienced, the beating, the trial, the mockery, the pain that he went through in his dying on the cross. When they died on the cross, when they were crucified, death came by asphyxiation, because their body, their chest was not able to expand for them to be able to breathe. The way they were hanging, they would actually have to push against the nails and pull against the nails to be able to stretch up to get a breath. And the normal death on the cross could take up to 5 days. Jesus, because of all the beating that he endured, the blood loss, everything else, Jesus hung on the cross for 6 hours. And he did it. He endured all of this for our salvation, to cleanse us and to heal us. He did all of this. However, his sacrifice would have been meaningless and our salvation incomplete and worthless if it wasn't for the resurrection. Jesus promised that he would rebuild the temple in 3 days, and they didn't understand what he was talking about when he said that. But he knew, just like we do, that if he would have died on the cross for our sins and stayed dead, it would have been pointless. It would have just been another religious leader that had died. But he was not just some other religious leader. He was not just a good teacher. He was not a lunatic. He was not a liar. He was the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah come in flesh. 100% man and 100% God. The second person of the Trinity. And he completed everything. And it was finished when he rose from the grave on the morning of the third day. Go back to 1 Peter 1, verses 18 through 21. Again, knowing that you were not redeemed by perishable things like silver or gold from your futile ways of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. We have faith and hope because of the resurrection, because of the fact that we serve a risen Savior. And I would just, I can't help but think about how the ladies felt that went to anoint the body of Jesus Christ, and they got there and he was empty, the tomb was empty. There was an angel sitting there and says, "He's not here, for he is risen." And immediately they ran back and told his disciples. And the Bible records the fact that the disciples ran back to the tomb, and it was empty. Can you imagine that? Actually being there, seeing him crucified, fearing for your life, holed up in a house, afraid that they were coming for you next. The man that you had followed for 3 years was gone. And you didn't know what to do next. And then you're told that he is risen from the dead. And running as fast as you can possibly run to see it for yourself and come upon this empty grave that you knew that he was in. This huge rock was rolled in front of it, and it was sealed with the Roman seal. So, and guards were placed in front of it to guard, to keep people from coming and stealing the body. But you know what? God had other plans. And he looked down and he said, "Arise, my love." And Jesus got up and walked out of that grave. I know my Redeemer lives. It is finished. It is translated from the Greek word tetelestai. Tetelestai is an accounting term and was usually found written on paperwork for business transactions. It literally means paid in full. The payment for my sin, for your sin, was made on the cross. But we have eternal life because of the resurrection. We can be confident that our Redeemer lives. He is alive and well today. And he wants us to understand exactly what he went through for us. You can trust Jesus Christ. You can have hope because of the resurrection. Please put your trust in him today. Celebrate Easter like you've never celebrated before. Because not only is it a holiday, but it is a resurrection Sunday. Today is the day that we celebrate. Our Redeemer is alive and well. Let me pray for you. Dear Lord, thank you for everything that you've done. Thank you for the fact that Jesus endured so much, much more than any man could ever endure. Dear Lord, he was mocked. He was beaten. He was tortured. All by the people that had just sung his praises as he entered just a mere 5 days before. dear Lord, he did it all because of us. When he came in to Jerusalem riding on the back of the donkey, he was coming as the Passover lamb. And dear Lord, when he shared the Passover meal with his disciples, and he gave them that third cup, the cup of redemption, he was telling them that I have to be crushed to redeem you. And dear Lord, then he went and died on the cross. His side was pierced. His hands and feet were pierced. And he died an agonizing death. But as he laid there on the cross, dear Lord, and shed his blood for us, the debt was finally paid in full. And it was finished. The perfect sacrifice to cover sin for all time. But dear Lord, we praise you for the fact that you did not leave him in that grave. But so that we could have hope and faith in God and you, Father. You raised him from the dead. Dear Lord, he is sitting there beside you right now, making intercessions for us. And dear Lord, we praise you for the fact that we serve a risen Savior. And we thank you that we can know that our Redeemer lives. And dear Lord, we give you all the praise and honor for it all, because there is nothing that we can do to deserve it. But we thank you that we have the right to be called sons and daughters of God. That we have the right to come into your presence as your children because of the fact of what Jesus did. That we can come to you and make our petitions known. And dear Lord, I couldn't imagine what it would be like not knowing that you are alive, not knowing that you love us, not knowing the hope that is found in Jesus Christ. Thank you for giving us the hope and the faith because of the resurrection. We give you all the honor and glory for it all. In the precious name of our living Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you for joining us this morning. Right now we have a couple of announcements. Have a happy Easter and have a great time celebrating our resurrection of our Lord. Here are some announcements for you.